That's something I love to do. I'm an intercessor, and I love to pray. But in my time of gathering my notes and getting everything together, I felt in my spirit change, and it altered. And so, did everyone get a little like a flyer, or not a flyer, but little pamphlet? And so, we're gonna read the word, and then we're gonna pray. And that's where the Lord led me. Okay, and so the title of my message is God's Perfect Plan. And you know what I enjoyed right now was the dance that Miss Cherie, you know, that she showed right now. It was incredible. I can relate to it. And right now I'm thinking the message that God put in my spirit is connected to her dance in some form or way. And this was not plan. This just happened this evening when I got here. I asked her, can you do this? And she was ready. So I know that God is up to something here tonight. So everyone has a little pamphlet. I'm going to not read the whole verse, and I'm going to eject different verses from the entire one that you have. But it's on first. It's on 2 Timothy 3:10-17, and it's Paul's charge to Timothy, and it begins, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But every evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. Verse 14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory, God. We give you all the honor. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for trusting me with your word. I thank you, Lord, for having us all here tonight. Everyone that is here tonight is not here by accident, Lord. You already knew where they were going to be sitting down. And so, Lord, I thank you for them being here because you want to share something to them. And so, Lord, I move out of the way and I ask, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what only you can do. I'm merely an instrument that said, yes, use me. Yes, send me. And so, Lord, have your way in the name of Jesus. Right now, I bind the spirit, Father God, of distraction. I bind the spirit of sleepiness. I bind that idling spirit in the name of Jesus. And I loose into the atmosphere, Father God. Lord, hunger, thirst, that thirst like that woman at the well, God, that went to get water. But Lord, you told her, the water you get, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you take from the water I have, you'll thirst no more. So, Lord, I pray that these sons and daughters will be thirsty for you, your word, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to, like I said, eject from the Timothy, and I'm just going to share different things that I'm going to paraphrase a lot, so I want you to bear with me. I'm going to use different verses, and there's 2 points I want to make, and one of them is living the example, and of course, that's from our key verse in 2 Timothy 3:10. And the second would be through it all, life challenges. and what how Paul what he said, the Lord rescued me from it all. That comes from Psalms 34, 19. And I'm just going to, you know, when I was reading 2 Timothy 3:10, and I read, and I'm just going to read that little part again. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. Just that right there alone, just that alone talks to me about a man that has been transformed. He's not, oh, woe is me. Because you see, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. But not a prison like we have here in San Antonio or in Lockhart or in Torres Unit. It's a prison. I mean, he was in a dungeon. And I took a picture of what the dungeon looked like. And oh my goodness, that's a ugly place to be. But he encouraged me. And I hope that by me sharing what God wanted you to hear is going to encourage you. You know, he wrote this to Timothy as a charge, right? He's telling him, look at me. But not only look at me, look at who did the work in me. Because you see, a little history on Paul. A little history before prior to Paul's conversion, his name was Saul. You know, I had a name. I'm sure I was called before God called me his daughter. You know, I'm sure I had a lot of names. Okay, but prior to Paul's conversion, his name was Saul. He was born in Tarsus. He was Jewish and studied in Jerusalem with leading teachers of the law. He was part of, a gang. You know, the gang called the Pharisees, you know, a religious group. They believed people could serve God by only obeying the law. His convictions prompt him to make trouble. He was a troublemaker for the followers of Jesus. And you can read that up in more in Acts 8. So you're welcome to jot down verses because I will be throwing them out. He was radical and persecuted Christians. His devotion to Jewish religion led him to destroy God's church. And he was heartless. You know, that's before his transformation. That's before he wrote this 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy. And so to me, when I read that, I saw a man that's truly transformed. He's passionate. He's sold out to God with no regrets. There's no, oh, woe is me, oh, poor me. Only a triumphant message. And Paul is pretty much telling Timothy, I've been there and done that. So learn from my example. Learn from my example. And you see, Paul had to go through. Paul, because of who he was before he was Paul, he was Saul. And because of his character and what his convictions were and what he was taught and what he believed, you know, he had it out for us Christians. He just didn't care for us. He wanted to eliminate everybody he could. In fact, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he put it in his... It was like, I can just imagine some... Like when I get mad, I can imagine how he was. Because when I get mad, I get mad. But when after Jesus passed and his resurrection, you know, he went to the priests. He wanted them to give him a letter so that he can go, and he was furious. He wanted to go, and with one mission in mind. Reminds me of John, the verse in John where it says, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. So it reminds me of that because he had a mission. That's what he wanted. He was very driven, but not for good at that time. And so he wanted to eliminate all the Christians. And I'm thinking, my goodness. But when God, he was on his way to Damascus when that happened, when he had an encounter with Jesus. Where were you at when God found you? What were you doing it? Who were you doing it with? What was going on in your life that when God found you? Because he was on his way to Damascus with that mission. I'm going to get rid of all these Christians. But you know what? God knows everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the end and in between. So guess what? On his way to Damascus, guess who interrupted his plans? None other than Daddy Jesus. He interrupted his plans, and he there was such a bright light. You know, I drive, and I don't wear sunglasses often because I don't know where I leave them. But I love sunglasses. But, you know, during the summertime, that sun is so bright, and you're driving. It can mess with your vision, and it can kind of, you know, if you're not careful, you can have an accident. And I'm thinking that's why so many people have hit me. You know, because they're blinded by the light, you know, but he was blinded. Saul was blinded by the light. And, you know, was really touching to me, and it may just sound like it's not a big deal, but, you know, when he was blinded by the light, Jesus told him, you know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And you know, and it may not mean nothing to you, and it may be like ABC, no big deal. But I'm thinking, isn't that what we do? You know, how we persecute, in a sense, what our tongue does to other people. What we do, how we talk about them, how we, you know, hammer them with what we say, or even our judgment. You know, we're real about judging the exterior of someone and throwing stones, you know. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I had to repent, because I'm like, I've done that. And not just before I was born again, even as a Christian, spirit-filled, I fall short and talk about people and not bless them. I curse them. And so I felt bad, because it said here, he says, Saul, put your name in there. Cross. What are you doing? What are you saying? Don't you know she's my daughter? Don't you know he's my son? Don't you know that what you're doing is hurting me? You're not actually saying it to them or doing it to them. You're doing it to me. And I was like, oh, man. So that really, really ministered to me. And I hope it ministers to you. You know, Paul went, I call it a retreat. Because in his conversion, you know, when he changed his life, he got away for like 3 years, and he stayed away like on his own. And I'm saying he went on a retreat, right? You know, but a lot of us go on a retreat and we come back in a couple of days. Well, he was gone for 3 years. But even at that, my point is, when we go to a retreat, we always say, like, what'd you get? Or I'm ready to come and share my testimony of what I said, or what I received, or what you know, because I actually just went to a retreat this past, and it was awesome. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. I loved it. But a lot of us go to retreats and come back, and within a couple of weeks, and I remember this because as we used to help with the youth would go to a retreat, get all fired up, all filled in with the Holy Ghost, and then they'd come and share their testimony, and within 30 days, no more than 90 days, you're like wondering, where's George? Where'd he go? Where's Cynthia? Where'd she go? You know, they disappear because they forgot what they received. But Paul, he didn't. Paul was being trained by the Holy Ghost. He was being trained by the power of the Holy Ghost. It transformed his life. And brothers and sisters, family and friends, I want you to hear from the heart of God. What does he want us to do? You know, we're living in some crazy times. We're living in some crazy times. And when you look at the key verse, he's saying, teach. You know, we make it too complicated. I'm not here to tickle your toes. You know, I'm here. It's simple. I was there sitting down, and I was reminded of something the Holy Spirit showed me when I was praying at my house, and he asked me to open my mouth and kind of look dumb to people if they were to see what she's doing, opening her mouth. What if somebody were to see it, right? But I was just following instructions, and so I opened my mouth and I just saw him stamping on me word, word, word. Like I was getting stamped word, word. And so what am I saying? I didn't understand it till I was sitting there this evening. What I got about that was we make it too complicated. And I'm telling you because I make it too complicated. I want to make sure it comes out this way. I want to make sure it looks like this. I want to make sure this and make sure that. And he's like, you're simply a mouthpiece. All you got to do is teach my word. If you speak my word, it's going to do what the power of the word is supposed to do. The word is what's going to transform you. Because in the beginning was what? Were the word. And God is the word. So there's nothing different. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changed not. We're the ones that dilute. We're the ones that act. We're the ones that take away. We're the ones that want this tickle feel good message. And right now, guess what? We need the word. We need the word. Because the word is what's going to sustain you. Because that's what Paul was telling Timothy. He was saying, teach what you know. Teach what you know. Live right. Right? And then it says, live on purpose. Know who you are. Know who you are. You know, so I'm just hoping this will help someone because God has been talking to me. Holy Spirit's been talking to me. And let me get back to my notes because there's a lot of good stuff in here. But he went on a retreat for 3 years, and that's what I'm saying. What happened? He understood who he really was. Before Paul going on this retreat, remember, he was an astute student. He had studied. He knew the law. He knew. But guess what? Some of us have to, you know, some of us have learned, and we're going to have to unlearn. And then guess what? We're going to have to relearn. And that's what happened to Paul. He had to go and unlearn what he had learned and relearn the truth. Because we know that it's the truth that will set you free in the name of Jesus. So God got the word and the power of the Holy Spirit showed him who he was. A son of God, a seed of Abraham. Yeah, that's awesome. Holy Spirit was cutting away. I'm thinking in this time, when we go to a retreat, what is a retreat for? You know, a retreat is, it's you and God. Yes, they're sharing with you and they're imparting into you, but it's a time for you to just do what maybe we don't get to do during the week because we're too busy. You know, we don't get to spend time with Daddy. You know, but that's a time you do that. Well, while he was out there in those 3 years, I believe Holy Spirit was not only equipping him, he was chiseling away, cutting away, circumcising, cutting away all these old ways, his religious ways, his hateful heart, his callous heart, his cold heart, his stinking thinking, his beliefs, his convictions, what he thought. And God was doing a work in him. So that way, because it gets better. Listen, you know, it just gets better. And I put it here, you know, he was circumcising every ounce of his self-righteousness, his ways and beliefs. It was an inside job. Did you see that movie? Okay. It was an inside job. Holy Spirit was chiseling away. He was maturing because only kids play. But he was a grown man. He was growing in the word. He was maturing in understanding truth. And I want to read Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And he was led by the Spirit. So I want to just say something, a little example right there. Say, as sons and daughters, no longer do we need to confess to men. And do all, with all respect, if there's anyone here that goes to a Catholic church, you know, not to downgrade anyone, but that is past tense. We do not, brothers and sisters, family and friends, need to go before men and confess. Guess who we go to and confess? Daddy! It says we are his son. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Romans? We are his sons and daughters, which means what? We have access, because I have kids. Everybody in here have kids or grandkids? I have kids. And let me tell you, my kids, whether they're all in or all out, they're my kids. And there's nothing my kids can do that will cause me to not love them. In fact, I'm going to love them more and pray for them harder. You know, for God to complete what he started in them. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to kick them out. I'm not going to kick them out of my life. You know, they may need to move out, but I'm not going to kick them out of my life. You know, so, but, so just know that, know who you are in Christ. Remember, that's past tense. We don't confess anymore to man. We confess everything, all our shortcomings, to Daddy Jesus and nobody else. And I'm sure all of us can relate to Paul as far as being transformed from the inside out. All of us in here have a story. We all have an individual, personal story. And that's what makes you dynamic. That's what makes you powerful. Because there's only one of you. Only one of you. God made you, are fearfully and wonderfully made. Believe me, I tell this and I've said it before, and Cynthia's probably laughing. That's my favorite verse. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and his works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You have to claim it. I'm claiming it, that I am his treasure. I'm his gift. And so you have to know who you are. Paul, no longer a lost man, no longer a hater, no longer a religious. In fact, it goes a little further. He did away with his inner circle friends. Some of us have to cut away some people. I hate to say it. I'm sorry. They take you to breakfast. I'm sorry. You know, but it is what it is. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be strong in the Lord, if you want to be all that God created you to be, then there's going to be some things you need to change. You know, there's some things we have to change. And his inner circle of group of people were not positive people. They were so polluted in their mind that they said that the wrong way was the right way. I mean, come on, there's on the street, it says one way, don't enter. I mean, it tells you pretty simple. You know, but this group he hung out with, they were so in their head, so just didn't have it all. They just didn't understand truth. I mean, the truth was right before them and they still didn't get it. You know, so you need to examine your inner circle. What do you want? Is somebody holding you from progressing? Is someone holding you from moving forward or moving closer? Is it that boyfriend or is it that girlfriend? Or is it the little jar? What is it? What's keeping you from falling in love with Jesus? Giving him all of you, because he gave you all of him. He loves you. He loves you so much, he was willing to die for you. If it was only you, Evelyn, he did it for you. He did it for you, Allison. He did it for me. His love is, oh my goodness. When I discovered his love, it changed my life. Like, I know he's changed all of your lives. Well, Paul would not have been able, this is what I believe and what I felt in my spirit. Paul would not have been able to spiritually father Timothy had the Holy Spirit not revealed to him, to Paul, who he was, that he was a son, that he was a son. You know, had Holy Spirit revealed who he was, a son, show him a father's love as sonship. Because you know what? Just like me, Timothy had issues. And you can read that in 2 Timothy 5:7. And it says, This is Paul talking to him. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that was first filled, your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Inez. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when he laid his hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. He's telling that to Timothy. Makes me wonder, what was going on with Timothy? You know, he was given a charge. Maybe he was afraid. You know what? Speaking of fear, this is what happened to me this morning. I got up. I mean, I had been fine till today. And I got up and I went into the shower. And in the shower, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. My head just was going boom, 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 all these thoughts. And then all of a sudden, I started to feel like I want to throw up. And it was just in my mind. Actually, it wasn't that I was actually wanting to throw up, because I hadn't even been able to eat because my stomach would clam up. But I wanted to throw up. So I stayed, no lie, and my husband's right here is my witness. I stayed in the presence of the Lord. I mean, I'm thinking always it was going to be 12:30 or so since the morning, because I had to break through is what I felt, you know, because I just had this heaviness. And I called my brother, and I didn't even say nothing. I was crying, and he says, what's wrong? He's thinking, something's wrong with Cross. And I said, I don't know, I'm nervous. And he goes, what? You nervous? Excuse me? So he prayed for me, and here I am in the name of Jesus, you know? But I say that because Timothy must have been dealing with some fear, some challenges that, hey, you want me to be like you? No, be you, Timothy. Be you. Be you. Paul was Paul. And Paul, I mean, wrote over 13 of those books in the New Testament. You know, when Paul gave his life, he didn't play around. He was no snack, crackle, pop. He dived in all the way, and he gave it all. He gave it all to God. That's what just interests me about him. Like, wow, Paul, what an awesome man of faith. He didn't play. He wasn't just on church on Saturdays or Sundays and then did what he wanted to do during the week. You know, he was sold out to Jesus. And so not only was he sold out to Jesus, all that he went through, that he endured for Jesus, for his faith, for his conviction. So Timothy's over here checking him out. Oh, well, I see countries, man. She's a scholar. She knows. She's an intercessor. She can kick them devils out. I can't be like countries. You know, that was probably Timothy thinking about Paul, you know, and we think like that. I can't do that like her. I can't do that like him. I'm telling you, because I'm human. I have those thoughts. It happened to me today. But you know what? God doesn't want me to be like you or like you. He wants me to be me, you know, and guess what? I know now that so long as I say yes to him and just share his word, he does the rest. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. He's knocking at the heart of your door tonight. Paul may have made this charge to Timothy, but he's making it to you tonight. He's saying to you right now, let me go back to my initial text, because I don't want to lose myself, okay? But it's in 2 Timothy, and let me just say here, but you, point at your neighbor, but you, and say it. I can't hear. I mean, come on, be bold. But you certainly know what I teach and how I live, what my purpose is. In life is, you know, my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know, Paul went from a hater to the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, come on. And that's what happened to me. I mean, I not that I hated people, but if I didn't like you, I didn't like you. You know, if you didn't look the way I wanted you to look, too bad, you're out, you know. But, you know, God changed all of that about me. Guess what? You know what my favorite verse is? Those that are close to me know it. But my favorite verse is Luke 7:47. She that been forgiven much, love much. And you don't know my story or all of my story like he knows my story. But let me tell you, that is my favorite verse. She that been forgiven much, love much. So what do I mean by that? I'm telling you that God did something. He did a heart transplant in me because, you know, I love people. I love to socialize. I like to talk to people. I like to encourage. I said that the last time I shared, that that's who God created me to be. But I didn't know when he called, when I got a word of prophecy, I didn't even know what prophecy meant. And they told me, you're going to be an exhorter. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and it went over my head and I continued living the way I wanted to live, you know. But now I understand what an exhorter is. Exactly what I'm doing here and now. Encouraging you. Speaking life to you. And that's who I am. And so now, guess what? Now I'm walking in all God created me to be. So what's your problem? What's holding you back? What's going on with you? Do you know who you are? You're not what you do. It's what you do is not who you are. What you do is a career. Who you are and what did God want you to do? So this charge may have been for Timothy back then, but let me tell you, God gave it to me now because it's for us. Only he knows where you're at. He knows where you're at in your walk. He knows where you are in your relationship with him. And you know what? Speaking of relationship, I believe Paul, during that time that he was away, that God was, Holy Spirit was teaching him and chiseling away, he was working on this vertical relationship with God. God was working with him, talking to him, giving revelations, Lord, doing a great work so that he could work with the horizontal here with you, with people, you know? Because let me tell you, I may be up here right now on the platform, but this is not my preference or what I say I want to do. But all of us are in the marketplace of some sort, doing some kind of work out there. We're somewhere meeting somebody at the grocery store and wherever. And you are also the one God wants to use. That charge is for you as well. You know, Timothy had his mom and grandma that taught him since he was young. Not everybody has that. I know I didn't. I went to Catholic church only on Christmas. And maybe we did, and I don't know how many times we did our communion and things like that, you know, our confirmation. But not everybody was born with the word. That you had spiritual parents that would speak to you and guide you in the ways of the Lord. You know, not everybody did, but guess what? Guess who wants to do that? I'm here because my aunt was praying for me and called me into the kingdom. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. And you're here for a reason. You know, you're here not by accident. God only knows what tomorrow holds. You don't know. You don't know from one day to the next what can happen in your life or to someone near you. So I would take this charge serious because God is saying something to all of us here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to keep going because I talk a lot. But God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I love you. I bless your name. You're an awesome Father. You're an awesome Father. You're an awesome, awesome. I'm just trying to move on with my notes. Oh, I drew a heart here because I don't want to lose my place. And I'm not joking, just real quick so you could see that I actually took a picture of the dungeon where Paul was. You know, that dungeon where he was at was a dark season in his life, was a cold and lonely place. He was facing death, and he writes a letter to his spiritual sons, his dying words. And have you ever been around someone that is about to die and has something to say? Well, I know I have. And that was with my mother. My mom was 45 years old when she died. She died very young, and I was 20. And I remember that she called my brothers and myself, and she was in the hospital. And she had a circle around her hospital bed like that. And she charged us. Now I'm taking it now because Holy Spirit brought that to remember us. I'm taking it as a charge that she said to us something short, simple. Like she didn't go on and she just said simple. She goes, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. I'm getting ready to leave. But I'm asking you to love each other and don't be mad at each other and fighting with each other. Love each other and be with each other. And she took her breath. And God took her. Those are her dying words. You know, and guess what? We have built on that. Thank you, Lord, that my brothers, I'm the only girl, I have three brothers. Thank you, Jesus, that when we get upset, let me tell you, it don't last long. We get over it real quick. And that's something that we need not only in our personal family, but in our church family. We need to grow up. And we need to be able to say, you know what, sis, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said your hair was this, or I'm sorry that I said your sweater looked that way, whatever. You know, just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Because it's not worth it. Because in the reality, something I learned in Matthew 5 was saying that when we ask for when we go and ask for forgiveness, it's not. In Matthew 5, it was telling me that when you go and there was a situation that came up, and I hadn't caused the problem, right? I didn't cause it, but Holy Spirit showed me, go to Matthew 5, and it says you go and you ask for forgiveness, not because you did it. Because that's what I want you to do. That's the right thing to do. And it releases you. So whether they receive it, don't receive it, that's on them. But I'm free. And I can continue moving forward. So I encourage you, family, do what you got to do. Because I know Holy Spirit's talking to somebody here. If not all of you, He's talking to some. Because Holy Spirit did not give me this word just for me. Yes, I need it, but it's for someone in the house. It's for someone here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. And then I put there, on the other hand, you know, that was talking about Paul being in the dungeon. And then I said, on the other hand, it's not so hard to say God is good when you have just gotten a big old raise and or have been promoted to the position that you wanted. You know, it's easy to praise the Lord and jump up and walk with your doodad and all that, you know. But that's what makes the letter so amazing for Paul, because he was in a dungeon. He was in prison in a dungeon. So for some, it's not so easy, right, to really feel that God is good when everything around you seems to be crumbling. You're not so easy when you are having some physical challenges, when your family's not getting along, when your marriage is hanging by the string, when your child is in prison, when you lose a loved one. It's not so easy, but that's actually when your Christianity trial begins. It's just a test. It's a test, just like she showed us here. You know, we want to go forth and share the good news and share the love of God, share your story, but you're not able to withstand with the little pressure that is allowed in your life. You know what I mean? So God is working and chiseling things off all of us. Paul's letter was a sense of urgency. It didn't only pick and choose, but it was a charge to follow. He passes the baton to Timothy. The first charge is teach the word, guard the word, know the word. And I'm going to encourage you all here tonight, wherever, for those that don't come to House of Manna, and wherever you go, make sure that the word is being taught. Make sure that where you go, you're getting the word. Not an opinion. The word. Because it's in the word. And this is the book. Not any book. This is not a novel. This is the book. In fact, I did a Guinness, or what do you call that? Guinness record, or I searched. And this is the number one seller. The book, the Bible. So obviously, we have a lot of people needing the word. But what's happening to us? Just like this is number one seller, there's a lot of broken pieces in our lives. There's a lot of broken people in the church. I know they say go outside the four walls. That's where the ministry is. And I agree. But guess what? In the four walls, we have a lot of broken people too. You know? And I'm thinking, because I was one of them, it was the lack of the word. Lack of the word. I just wanted my Sunday morning dose. My Sunday morning antibiotic, my midday, Wednesday, you know, Tylenol, whatever they gave me in that hour, those 30 minutes. And I wanted to live like Wonder Woman the rest of the week. And it ain't gonna happen. So if you want to live a prosperous life, if you want to live a life and have peace in your life, even in midst of the storm, peace. He said, peace, be storm, peace to the storm. We need the word. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. When you got married to your spouse, what is that required? It said, I do. You said, I do. I do. I do in riches and poverty and riches and poor. What is it? Yes, and sickness and health. You said, I do to all that. Now, whether you knew what you were doing or not, I don't know. But you said, I do. Okay? And then guess what? Then guess what? Trouble comes. And what do you want to do? You want to run out. You want to run. You want to run. But I'm telling you, if God is not the center, the focal point of your marriage, that three cord, then it's not easily broken. Your marriage may be hanging by the string right now. You know, but I'm telling you, we cannot get away from the word. Just like once you said I do, what was that about? I do die to myself, and I now become one with you. So when you said I do to Jesus, you die to your selfish, stinky ways, and now you become one with him. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. So that was the first charge, the word. Second was teach the word. And the second was, it says, live right. It says, live right. And so live right is haven't you heard? If people don't want to hear about your Jesus. They want to see your Jesus. And they want to see him in who? In you. So, I mean, I encourage you. And really, is it hard? We expect for our kids to listen and do right and be right, but then we're the wrong example for our kids. So just you know, I don't know where that came from, but I hope somebody caught it. The last one says, live on purpose. Know who you are. Paul was giving nuggets of wisdom. He was sharing his story. Through it all was the second point. The first one was that, and we don't have much to go. Through it all, life challenges. The first charge was pretty much, it says, be a soldier. Be a soldier. In 2 Timothy 3:7, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Put on your fatigues. Put on your armor. Put it on. And, you know, do your attention. And don't move. And don't move. Come on. Make your face a flint. Come on. I'm from the west side, dude. You know. You know, I'm like, come on. You know. But now I fight with the word. So, yeah. You know, I fight with the word because it says lay hands on them, right? Lay hands and then pray. Okay. No, but just this. Don't take that. Erase. Delete that. No, but, you know, that by the to be a soldier. Don't be timid. It's not going to be easy. You may be misunderstood, lose friends, even family members. It's not going to be easy. But consider the cost, and that's something we don't consider. We don't consider the cost. We said I do to a vow, and then the first argument, or because he didn't put his clothes up, or because his shoes stink or feet stink, we want a divorce. You consider the cost. You know what I mean? Consider the cost even in your faith walking with Jesus. The second one is don't shrink back. Don't wimp out. Be careful. Be alert. And you can find that on 3 Timothy 5, 6, and 7. What is he talking about? Be alert. They will act religious, but they will reject the power. Come on. Come on, I'll leave that there. I don't need to explain it much. And the last one is continue. Continue. Continue in what? Continue in your old ways? Continue being you? Continue living the way you want with who you want? No. Continue in the Word. Continue teaching truth. Continue living right. Continue. Live on purpose. Know why you're here. Know who you are. Know whose you are. You're not a mistake. You were born on purpose. There's purpose in your life. Someone's waiting for you. Someone's waiting for you to share daddy's love, whether it's a hug, whether however God wants to use you. You don't have to go preach the word. Be the word. Continue, but you must remain faithful to do the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Oh, my goodness. So Paul, telling him all that he's gone through, different trials and testing. How did Paul respond to the many trials and circumstances? In Psalms 34:19, it says, God rescued me from all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out. And that's pretty much the message. That is it. In closing, this is what I want to say to all of you. You are world changers. You are. You are not a mistake. There's greatness inside of you. There's purpose bubbling inside of you. Some of us don't know it because we're lost in a maze. We don't know where we're at. Some of us don't know it because we don't know who we are. We're having an identity crisis, not a midlife crisis, an identity crisis. Communicate the truth. This is what I charge you with. Communicate the truth. Stand for truth, even when it feels uncomfortable. We make those jeans fit. Hello. Impart who you are and teach what you know. Simple. Simple. Not complicated. You know, I was talking to Cantrice. She's one of my prayer partners that comes and we stand together and pray. And we pray for hours and it just happens. But I was telling her, you know, nowadays, and you know, I feel that the word came at a good time because if you know, and I don't have to tell you all that's going on in the school system, religion, sex, gender, I mean, all kinds of things, everything. So this word came on time because God knows what we're going to face in the coming days, in the coming years. He's saying, don't be a wimp. Stand for truth. Arm yourself. Suit yourself with the armor. This is the sword that you need. This cuts through bone and marrow, spirit and soul. It does. It discerns the thoughts of the heart. It's what the word does. We serve a living God. A living God. The word is active, 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 moving. The problem is we're not using it. That's the problem. And in order for us to overcome, we need to do something. Paul gave a charge to Timothy. Holy Spirit is giving you a charge here tonight. What are you going to do? I'm just the mouthpiece. I was like Moses saying, send somebody else, not me. What if they don't believe me? But I don't know how to talk. Did he get out of it? No. He still had to do it because it was a charge in his life. So there's a charge in your life to be different, to stand up. Stand up for what is right. Stop playing around. It's like I told someone, actually a family member that's being challenged with some drugs. I said, it's not like you ain't been there, done that. I mean, because I'm the one that turned you on, so I know what it's about. You know, but it's time to let it go. You know, we take life for granted, and you'll hear me say this a lot. We do take life for granted. But you don't know when you get in your car here what's going to happen once you're in that car. It may not even be you. It's the other person driving. No matter your situation, don't give up. Don't give up. We have a rich heritage. We have all we need to overcome and persevere. Stay in position. Stay humble. Adhere and commit. And what did Paul say? Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I finished the course. I did what God called me to do. I didn't leave no rock unturned. I went where he told me to go. I talked to the ones that he wanted me to talk to. I took a beating for this. I went through it. And he's telling Timothy, you know, the only way I was able to get through what I went through was because of who lives inside of me. You know, the one that was freaking out this morning was cross. That was cross. La carne. The flesh. The one right here, right now, is not the same cross that woke up this morning. You know? But that's because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's what you got to know. I've been helping a couple that is having some challenges in their marriage. And she's like, how do you get this word? How do you know that verse? I said, through pain. Through pain. You get the word in your pain. And that's how I got the word. I get my verse. Cast down all imaginations. Why? Because obviously I have a challenge in my mind. The battlefield's in between the ears. Is what your mind is saying. Like this past weekend, they say the real self and the ideal self and the real self. The ideal self says, I can do it. I'm more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But the self, the real self says, the real self you can't see. You didn't see me this morning. How I was freaking out. That's the real self. The real self is shrinking, is afraid, says, I can't do it. We think the worst. You know, so in the name of Jesus, I encourage you. Like Timothy said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. How are you going to finish tonight? Not tonight. How are you going to finish? What are you leaving for your kids or your family? What are you charging? What are they going to see in you? Because, you know, it's not even about us, ladies and gentlemen. It's about who's following us. Who's watching us? Whether it's your kids, grandkids, whether it's at your job, what do they see? How you finish speaks volumes for others that are watching you. We don't know what the future holds, obviously, right? I just said that. But right now, I just want you to take a minute, because I'm done, and just quietly in your spot, just take a deep breath. Honestly, just take a deep breath. Breathe in. Hold it. 1, 2, 3. Father God, Holy Spirit, release it. Just relax quietly. What thought comes to mind that you are needing God to do? Or what giant are you facing that needs to be beheaded? Maybe you're needing more courage. Maybe you need more boldness. Maybe you're timid, you're shy. Maybe you're a worrier. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you don't know how to stand for the truth. But I encourage you here and tonight to take a stand. And we're here to pray for you. George, music, please. I'm done. But I hope that this message blessed you. And what I want you to leave with is simply that you matter. I'm so blessed you're here. I called you today. I was going to tell Yvonne that, tell her, you gave me the wrong number. Because somebody answered in Spanish and I like, no comprendo español. But I'm glad you're here. And God has everybody that's here that needs to be here. I don't care that you're a scholar. I don't care how much church you have, how much you think you know, who you think you are. None of that matters. Holy Spirit brought you here tonight because there's an area yet in you, inside of you, that God wants to work. He wants to do a work in you. He loves you too much to leave you the same. You matter to Him. So I just let the music play, please. And just in that quiet place where you are, as the Holy Spirit leads you, you come up here. And we're going to pray for you. Why? Because we don't want you to leave the same. We don't want you to leave the same. Cantrice, can you come up here, please? John, so we can pray. Please.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Hallelujah.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
Don't be shy. This is your time to break through.